Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, tonight we're going to start a four-week series, and it's a series that we've entitled Ridiculously Awesome Faith. And so the idea is simply to remind us, I think it's good for us every now and then to just make sure we're dialed in on the things that really, really matter day by day. And faith is honestly one of the most important. Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So one of the things I pray regularly is, Lord, increase my faith, strengthen my faith, help me to walk by faith, to believe You for great things. And so what we're doing is tonight, we're going to just kind of introduce the whole idea of faith, and we're going to be looking in the next few weeks about people who believe God for some pretty big things. Now, here's the good news about faith. As important as faith is, I mean, if you can't receive from God, please God, walk with God without faith, then you know it's really important. But here's the good news about faith. It doesn't take a bunch. Doesn't take a lot of faith. I mean, all you have to do is act on the faith that God gives you. Be open to receiving it, act on it, exercise it like a muscle, watch it grow. But honestly, tonight as we talk about faith as it relates to quality and quantity, the quality of faith is more important than the quantity of faith, and it doesn't take a whole bunch of faith. I mean, even if you have, think of this, even if you have like a monster problem, a ginormous problem, faith as small as a mustard seed is enough to receive from God, which I don't know about you, is very, very encouraging. On three different occasions, apparently this was a principle Jesus liked to talk about, and on three different occasions, so we know this was a part of His ministry. It was an illustration that He used frequently to help people grasp faith, but on three different occasions, He spoke about the power of a faith-filled statement. The power of giving voice to faith in our words. And He used the illustration of moving something twice, of uprooting it and moving it into the sea, and once just simply moving it. Let's look at it, Matthew chapter 17. I'll bring him up. He said to them, because of your little faith. So the disciples had come to Him and said, why couldn't we heal the boy or cast the demon out of the boy? Mark says cast the demon out. Matthew says heal. Jesus said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, just a tiny speck of faith, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. As Jesus is saying this, He's saying it in the shadow of the largest mountain in the region of Galilee, in the land of Israel. It is Mount Hermon. And so He's saying, listen, if you had the faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this gigantic mountain, move from here to there, and it would do it. Amazing. Then we read in Mark chapter 11, as He's talking about faith, Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. And then in Luke chapter 17, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. We want more faith. And He replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and plant it in the sea, and it will obey you. I want you to notice something in each one of those verses. Jesus says, if you have the faith, you will say to this mountain, you can say to this mountain, you can say to this mulberry tree. What's interesting is he's not talking about praying, he's talking about saying. So I'm not saying that there wasn't prayer that was happening prior to this, but there comes a point when faith that is real, true faith, is faith that is vocalized. So what I want to do in the next few moments, I want to give you just five general principles on true faith, five things about it. Number one, true faith is not the same as believing. So when you say, well, I believe God could do it, that's not faith. That's a statement of saying, you know what? God can do whatever he wants. That doesn't mean you really believe he's going to do it. That's not the kind of faith. Acknowledging God's ability and knowing God's going to do something are two different things. In Matthew 17, the disciples could not cast the demon out of the boy. They couldn't heal him. And when they asked Jesus why, Jesus said it was because they had so little faith. Look at it, Matthew chapter 17. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and they said, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, because of your little faith. Now, honestly, if they had little faith and all you need is faith the size of a mustard seed, how much faith did they have? Zero. I mean, if all you needed was a seed then, and they didn't even have a speck, then you have to conclude they didn't have much. If you only need a speck. And I want you to think about this for just a moment. Did they try to cast the demon out? Yes. They tried to heal the boy? Yes. Did they believe they could do it? Yes, they did. Which tells us, and I think this messes up a lot of Christians, honestly. They believe they could do it. They tried to do it. So that tells us that whatever they thought faith was, they were wrong. I mean, because they thought they could do it. It was not really faith at all. What they thought was not faith at all. Charles Price, a faith healer of the last century, wrote this, and I've quoted this to you before. I just think it's such an interesting statement by a man who was mightily used by God to heal a lot of people in his lifetime. The mistake that with many is that they confuse Christ's imparted faith with their mental ability to believe. To sit down and repeat, I am healed, I am healed, I am healed, is not only unscriptural, but spiritually dangerous. So when we talk about saying a faith statement, you're saying a faith statement only if it's based on real faith in some sense. I mean, I'm all for making positive statements, but we have to be careful how we, to run around and say, you know what, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, and you are on death's door, is not wise, and I don't think it's a good testimony. So I've met a lot of people who, now if people qualify and say, either way I win, I'm going to heaven, great. But when a person is running around saying to lost people, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed, and then they're obviously getting ready to pass away, and then they do, there's a lot of cleanup work that has to happen after that. Now, I realize that's a strong statement. I just think we have to think this through a little bit. So this is what he's saying, and this man was a faith healer. It's not only unscriptural, but spiritually dangerous. I admit that such a spiritually unsound method might help a few neurotics, but it would never remove the mountain that the master said faith would. Isn't it evident that when we have prayed what we thought was the prayer of faith and nothing happened, it must be that what we thought was faith was not faith at all? Did Jesus say that faith as a grain of mustard seed would work sometimes and not at others? His declaration was plain and specific. There was nothing ambiguous about it. It was a clear statement of fact from the lips of the eternal God himself, and who could speak with greater authority than he can? Whenever and wherever this faith is active, we won't be standing around poor sick folks hour after hour, rebuking, commanding, struggling, and pleading as in the past. When Christ's faith is imparted, the storm dies down, and there's peace in the soul. The only sound is the voice of thanksgiving and praise, and that's when we realize that it wasn't our ability to believe that made the sickness go, but that Christ's faith was given. Then it will be morning, glorious morning in our souls. So all that to say, true faith is not the same as believing God can do something. Second, when we look at faith and think about faith, true faith is not complicated. I think we make it complicated, but Jesus refuses to let the disciples make it complicated. So he's giving them a teaching about not offending, you know, a brother or sister in Christ and talking about that. And then the disciples, you know, want to change the subject. And they say, Lord, increase our faith, which I don't think is a bad thing to pray. But I think Jesus puts it all in perspective. They say, increase our faith. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. It strikes me that Jesus is saying, they're saying, Lord, we just need more faith. And Jesus said, hey, you know, let's not make this real complicated. All you need is a tiny little bit. So sometimes we have a tendency to think because we got a big problem, we have to have this ginormous faith. And Jesus says, listen, you don't need a boatload of faith. If it's true faith, all you need is just a tiny little bit. Number three, true faith is from God. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. In the Greek, it's have you faith of God. True faith comes from God. Now, let me just, you say, well, how do I get it? And I think it helps people to understand that there's essentially three kinds of faith. First of all, there's saving faith. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so as people hear the word of God, then the preaching of the word is what activates faith in somebody's heart to believe for salvation. So that's why we want to, if you want to see somebody come to Christ, the best thing you can do is give them the word of God. And I would suggest that being in the word, living in the word, knowing in the word builds our faith to believe God, right? And to trust God. Second, there's a serving faith. And a serving faith, faith to serve. So in Romans chapter 12, talks about that. In verse 3, it says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given you. And so he's going to be talking about people have gifts of encouragement, leadership, helps. He's going to talk about that later. And he's saying, listen, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, but realize, you know, it's not humility to say, oh, I'm no good and I can't do anything. And you know, I don't know, you know, hey, God made you. God had a plan when he made you. And God gifted you when he made you. You have gifts that are unique to you that you can use for his glory and that God will set his hand on and it'll be a blessing to people. And God gives you faith to walk in those gifts. Now watch this. In verse 6, it says this. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. So in other words, if God has given you helps, if he's given you mercy, if he's given you the gift of encouragement, if he's given you the gift of leadership, do it with an understanding of, hey, you've given me the gift. I believe that. I accept that. I'm going to use that for your glory. Everybody with me on that? So we got saving faith. We got serving faith. Number three, there is supernatural faith. And what we're talking about here, because most of us, I think a lot of times we confuse the different kinds of faith that God gives us, and we're looking for saving faith to heal somebody. And honestly, it doesn't work that way. What we need is supernatural faith. And supernatural faith is something that God births in our heart as we're walking in step with His Spirit, and the Spirit of God is resting upon us, and we're allowing Him to have His way and to work in us His gifts. This I would suggest to you. I'm not saying somebody cannot have supernatural faith if they've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but I will say this, and I think I can prove it clearly from Scripture. You have a definite advantage and an exponential likelihood of having supernatural faith when you've been filled with the Spirit. Now listen, this is what Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, it's not that you can't have it if you don't, but it's one of the reasons why every single one of us should say, God, I want all that you have for me. I want every ounce, every inch of your blessing, your working, and there's nothing that's in your word that I don't want in my life. Now watch this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So in this passage, Paul's talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And he mentions nine. I don't know that that's an exhaustive list necessarily, but he mentions nine. And here are some of them. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Then verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. So in other words, I believe this, that usually the gifts of the Spirit operate in a combination. So he's going to talk, one of the gifts is the gifts of healing, one of the gifts is the gifts of miracles. So in order to have the gift of miracles function, you probably have that functioning with the gift of healing, or the gift of faith, excuse me. Or maybe you have healing, miracles, and the gift of faith, or you have discernment of spirits, so instantly you know something that enables you with faith to speak out and to result in healing. I mean, the word of knowledge, all of them go together, but there is the supernatural gift of faith to do miracles. And when you have that, you're not trying to work anything up. You know, what we're talking about here is keeping in step with the presence of the Lord, so that when He speaks, you're already dialed in. Because you're walking with Him. So when He speaks, you know it. For example, here's how it would play out in real life. Peter and John, Acts chapter 3, and we're not going to bring this up on the screen, they're walking up to the temple at the hour of prayer to pray, and they see a lame man by the gate, and he's begging for alms. And Peter and John see that, and, you know, just as they're there, Peter's like, John, do you have anything? John's like, no, I don't have any pockets in my robe, so I don't have any money on me. But, you know, they don't have anything. So Peter turns to the man, and he says, I know that's what you're wanting. But in that moment, faith has filled his heart, and he's not praying for the man. He's saying, now, let me pray for you. He says, I don't have silver and I don't have gold, but what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I mean, that's supernatural in that faith, in that moment. It's a knowing that you know that you know. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to work it out. You don't have to sit there and say, I wonder if this is. In that moment, my experience with it is in that moment, you just know. You just know. You just have a joy in your heart. You just know. And you could have 10 people say, I don't, but it wouldn't matter because you know what you know, what you know, what you know. And that's supernatural faith in that moment that you can believe. So true faith, and it comes from God. So the real key for us is to make sure that we're keeping in step with the Spirit, that we're listening, that we cultivate a life of sensitivity to the prompting of the Spirit. And see, what happens to a lot of people is they only want a sensitivity when it comes to a miracle they can work or a need they need met, but the prompting of the Holy Spirit probably will have something to do like this. You shouldn't have said that. you know what? You were out of line there. That's the prompting of the Spirit. If you don't want to listen to him, or you know what? You shouldn't be watching that. You sense something, you feel like, in my spirit, it just doesn't feel good. But if you're like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. When you cut off the prompting of the Spirit, the speaking of the Spirit, the moving of the Spirit in those ways in other areas of your life, then you're automatically diminishing, because when you say, no, hey, be quiet, I don't want to hear that. That's what you're saying to the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, you're immediately diminishing his ability or his willingness to speak in other areas of your life. The idea of walking with Christ and living a faith-filled life is that you and I would develop a sensitivity to the Lord. And so if he's speaking something, if he's directing, like if he's telling you, hey, go pray for that person, you're like, well, I don't want to. You know, what you have to do, the way to develop your sensitivity to the Spirit is to act when you sense the Spirit speaking. And when you do that, you cultivate that, and you'll find yourself at different times, different places, being directed by the Spirit. Everybody with me on that? Number four, true faith doesn't rely on a form, a pattern, or a previous work of God. Here's what I mean. The father says in Matthew chapter 17, who has the boy who's epileptic, it's a result of a demon. He needs both healing and deliverance. And the father says, I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. The words "they could not heal him" tells us that they tried to heal him, thinking it would happen just like it had when Jesus sent them out two by two. Remember in Matthew chapter 10, or I think it's Mark chapter 6, he sent them out and they healed people. And they came back and told him all that had happened, and they're pretty excited. So they're like when the father brings them the boy, they're like, oh, yeah, we've seen this a lot of times. Yeah, I got a lot of experience with that. I did one of these over in Galilee. So you get the idea that they're like, yeah, we could do this. It's like, no sweat. Only to find out they couldn't. And the reason why, the thing that's instructive for us in that is simply this, that Jesus is not going to let us put him in a box. He didn't heal people the same way all the time. Some people he put mud on them. Other people he spit on their tongue. One person he put his fingers in their ears. Another person he just spoke the word, didn't even go see him, just said, it's they're healed. I mean, he worked in a variety of ways, all of which calls for us to have a sensitivity, because God is a God of amazing variety, and God's not going to let us come to a place where we've got him all figured out. Because he wants us to walk with him. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. So I'm not doing anything on my own. The Son only does what he sees the Father doing. And so for you and I, it's a matter of being sensitive enough to say, God, what are you doing in this situation? What is it that you want to do? And then sometimes, honestly, musicians, you can come as you're not even thinking about that situation or a certain situation, and all of a sudden, it just happens. And instantly, you're like, the Lord just spoke to me. I know he did. And you can tell, my experience is this. Oftentimes, it's not something I was thinking about. And there's a few times when I would say, because it's not every morning for me. There's times I feel prompting and you act on it. You say, I believe the Lord is doing this, and so I'm going to act on it. And you can't be afraid of being wrong. Because there's some people in here, and you'd be a lot farther in your progression of God using you if you would not worry so much about being wrong. Just think about being right, about having heard him right. And oftentimes, just stepping out. But when the Lord has spoken and it's true faith, I just think from my experience, you just know. You just know. You know, there's not a ton of things I would say, I know that I know, but that doesn't mean there aren't many things that I would say. Are you with me on that? True faith, finally, is not about you. It's not about me. True faith is about the glory of God. It's that God's glory might be revealed in the lives of people, in circumstances, in cities, in situations. We have such a tendency to think, well, what will people think if I do that? How about you just don't worry about that? I'm not talking about being thoughtless or careless, but we need to not worry about how we're going to look. What will people think of me? You know what? Who cares? There are some people that if you don't do anything, aren't going to think very good of you. There are some people, I got news for you, they just don't like you. And you're a really nice person. I don't understand it, but they just don't like you. So, you know, just relax on that thing and realize it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. And we want to honor the Lord. Here's what Jesus said at the end of that passage in Luke 17, where they said, increase our faith. And then he says, you know, listen, you don't need a lot of faith. You just need a little tiny bit. And if you have that, you can say to the mulberry tree, be removed and cast into the sea, and it will happen. And then he goes right into that and he says, now listen, what kind of master, if the master comes in, is going to say to the servant, let me serve you, let me do this. No, he's going to say, hey, I'm home. I'm ready for you to get my meal. And then he closes with this statement. So you also, Luke chapter 17, verse 10. When you've done everything you were told to do, should say, we're unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. In other words, don't make faith about you. Make faith about obeying God. You know, if God speaks, do it. Don't make it about you. And if God does something really awesome, then, hey, praise God. But the response is, hey, we're unworthy servants. We didn't deserve to be used by that. We didn't deserve to see the glory of God and the grace of God like that. All I was doing was just listening to what the Lord said, and I was just trying to follow, and it's about him, not me. So don't look at me, look at him, right? I mean, that's essentially what Jesus said when they were like, how can you do these works? And he said, listen, I only do what I see my Father doing. I'm all about glorifying the Father. That's true faith. And you know what? God wants to ignite that in our hearts. But the thing about a prayer is the thing that helps us. It's the means by which we cultivate a heart that's sensitive to his voice. Because prayer is speaking and God answers prayer. But prayer is listening. Prayer is being in God's presence. And honestly, here's the way it works. You're more sensitized to his presence anytime you're in his church service than you were before. I know that because that's true for me. I am more sensitive to his presence after I've been in a place where I've spent time worshiping.